Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. And in today's program, in our unit on psychology, we're going to continue talking about the dangers of eating disorders. Now, remember last time we outlined the three major types of eating disorders: anorexia nervosa, bulimia nervosa, and binge eating disorder. And they all have different kinds of symptoms, but basically they are all mental conditions, mental diseases, I guess you could say, mental illnesses that require professional attention.
Yeah, if people aren't taken care of by a medical professional, a lot of them can pass away. Your body has to have some weight. And the bulimia is a little different, but you ruin your whole system. You ruin your stomach, your esophagus. That's where your food goes down after you've been vomiting every day forever. So these are really pretty serious, guys. We're going to start, as we always do, by reading through the article, and then we'll be back to talk about some of these terms. Eating disorders are serious mental illnesses and can be life-threatening if left untreated. The effects of malnutrition and the destructive behaviors associated with these conditions can lead to severe health complications like heart failure and kidney damage. As a result, it is important for people struggling with eating disorders to seek professional help as soon as possible. The sooner these disorders are diagnosed, the more likely it will be that sufferers can recover. Unfortunately, eating disorders may be difficult to detect because affected individuals often deny their problem or may make significant efforts to conceal their behaviors. There is no single common sign of an eating disorder. However, there are red flags to look out for. Aside from constantly talking about dieting and weight, individuals with eating disorders may often experience dramatic fluctuations in their weight. They likely engage in unusual food rituals, like cutting food into tiny pieces, pushing food around a plate, eating very slowly or very quickly, or hiding food. People with eating disorders often feel overwhelmed or out of control around food, so they may avoid eating in public. Due to the complex nature of eating disorders, prevention is better than cure. Adopting healthy attitudes about body image and eating is a good place to start. Instead of restricting certain foods, eat a variety of foods and exercise for fitness. Don't let the media distort your ideas about beauty. And stop body shaming yourself and others. What's more, learn effective coping strategies to deal with negative emotions. Educating yourself about eating disorders and recognizing the factors that could put you or a loved one at risk are the most important steps toward prevention.
Let's discuss the content of today's lesson. Okay, we're talking about the dangers of eating disorders, and this is the second part of our lesson. And it begins by saying, eating disorders are serious mental illnesses and can be life-threatening if left untreated. So, of course, we have various illnesses that affect us in our lives. Mental illnesses are ones that have to do with psychology, whereas ones that have to do with our bodies, such as getting a cold, getting the flu, getting cancer, having a heart attack, those are physical illnesses. But a mental illness, that could be, yes, these eating disorders, it could be psychosis, schizophrenia, etc., multiple personality disorder. Those are examples of mental illnesses, and eating disorders are considered mental illnesses. And if you don't treat them, they could be life-threatening. You could actually die from these mental illnesses.
Yeah, that's what life-threatening is. It means you can actually put your life at risk if you develop one of these diseases and it goes untreated. The effects of malnutrition and the destructive behaviors that are associated with these conditions can lead to severe health complications, like heart failure or kidney damage. Karen Carpenter actually died of heart failure. That's what actually killed her. But it was the anorexia that led to it. Now, malnutrition, look at the first three letters of that word. Mal means bad. So just remember when you see malnutrition, bad nutrition. You're not getting the vitamins and minerals that you need. Maybe you're eating just one type of food every day, which I know happens, especially in college, you know, college-age kids. They either will eat spaghetti every day because they're saving money or peanut butter sandwiches. But malnutrition can really hurt your body long term. There are also destructive behaviors that hurt you that we'll talk about in a minute. And these can lead to severe or very extreme health complications. If someone's in severe pain, that means the pain is really bad. So the level's very high. So when you see severe, no, it's very serious. Severe health complications. Health complications, when we talk about this, it may not be the main disorder or disease that the person has, but sometimes because of that disease, they develop other side problems. Medicine that you take sometimes has side effects. Those are complications from the medicine that you're taking to help you with the original disease or the original disorder. So they usually don't die of anorexia, but the anorexia leads to heart failure or kidney damage.
Right. You've got malnutrition, you've got destructive behaviors, and those lead to these complications or things that happen as a result of something else. And of course, we listed some examples of things that could happen here.
Yeah.
Now, as a result, it is important for people struggling with eating disorders to seek professional help as soon as possible. So, yes, if you suspect you're suffering from something like this, hey, don't listen to us. We're just a couple of broadcast English teachers. We're not experts on this subject. Talk to a psychologist, a counselor, or something. I believe you could probably get some Janbao to help pay for that as well. Don't be ashamed. Lots of people do this. You need to seek professional help as soon as possible. Maybe talk to a nutritionist or something, and they can give you a recommendation about a certain doctor to talk to, and they can help you solve your problem.
That's right. So the sooner these disorders are diagnosed, the more likely it will be that sufferers can recover. This is a pattern we use in English sentences. The sooner something happens, the more da-da-da. So the sooner I get up, the sooner I can get to school, or the sooner I stop eating late at night, the sooner I can lose some weight. So the sooner, or the more likely, these are patterns. So the sooner these disorders are diagnosed, if you diagnose something, it usually means you go to someone who is an expert, like a doctor, and they take some tests, and then they identify what you're struggling with. So it might be an illness that you have that's diagnosed, and usually they look at your symptoms plus some tests, and then the doctor comes to a conclusion, or he diagnoses what's wrong with you.
Right, so, and you'll be able to recover or return to normal health and be a regular human being again without this problem. And recovery is the noun form. You could say, hey, I wish you a speedy recovery. I hope you get well soon. But again, here, recover is being used as the verb. Now, here in the next paragraph, it says, unfortunately, eating disorders may be difficult to detect because affected individuals often deny their problem or may make significant efforts to conceal their behaviors. So, yes, they might be difficult to detect. Here we've got the verb to detect. That just means to be able to tell that something is there. They usually have sensors.
Smoke detectors,
right. I was thinking of seismic sensors that can detect earthquakes in various parts of the world. But here we're talking about detecting those symptoms, and other people may be totally blind. Hey, I didn't know my friend Alex was suffering from this. He kept it a secret from all of us. It was difficult to detect his problem.
Yeah, so a lot of times these folks don't want others around them to know they're suffering from this. They actually don't think they have anorexia, though. But they don't want people to be bothering them about their weight or what they're eating. That usually just leads those folks suffering from these eating disorders to hide even more what they're doing. So it's hard to kind of see or to notice that individuals are actually having this problem. They often deny their problem. If you say, oh, you're really thin, are you eating enough? Oh, I'm fine. This is normal for me. Or they might then turn to hiding their actions and their behavior. To conceal means to hide. You'll often hear conceal if you're watching crime movie or crime TV program. They conceal their weapon, conceal their gun so no one sees it. So you hide it. There's no one single common sign of an eating disorder. There's not one thing that if you see it, you go, ah, that's it. They must have anorexia or they must have bulimia. But there are some red flags that you need to be on the lookout for. A red flag, when we use that phrase, it just means something that kind of catches your attention and alerts you to something. Something's wrong, a red flag.
Yes, the way he reacted to my news was a red flag. He must be guilty or something like that. Otherwise, he would not have reacted that way, for example. So, yes, you can look out for some red flags, maybe a dead giveaway that the person will give you or show you, but they don't intend to, but you can still tell that they're having this problem. And let's talk about some possible red flags here. Aside from constantly talking about dieting and weight, individuals with eating disorders may often experience dramatic fluctuations in their weight. So indeed, this is a red flag here, a dead giveaway. If you constantly hear the person saying, oh, I'm so fat, I need to lose some weight, I need to go on a diet, and you look at them and you go, boy, I would like to strangle you. You are about 20 pounds thinner than I am, yet you think you're overweight. They're constantly saying stuff like that, and they're always talking about dieting. Gee, maybe I should try a new diet or something like that. Maybe I'll lose weight that way. Or I'm too heavy. I just weighed myself this morning and I'm 5 kilograms overweight. Gee, what should I do?
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, that would be a lot indeed. So they often experience these dramatic fluctuations in their weight. A fluctuation is just when things change. It goes up and it comes down.
Yeah.
That's a fluctuation. There could be fluctuations in wind speed during a typhoon where the winds are really strong 1 minute and the next minute they slow down to almost zero. Those are dramatic fluctuations, and dramatic means extreme, basically.
Okay, right now we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to continue talking about eating disorders.
Hi, everyone. My name's Jenny. 我们今天要继续来看 eating disorders. 其实呢，这种进食不正常，它是一种精神疾病，所以必须要治疗的。那假如不治疗的话，它可能会是 life-threatening。 我们知道 life-threatening 就是会危及生命的。假如不治疗的话，这边用到 if left untreated， 这个结构上基本上可以看得出来，它是一个分词的结构。 if 后面主词是相同的，也就是前面的 eating disorders， 这个主词被省略掉了。而后面呢， if eating disorders are left untreated，你的主词不见了， be 动词也不见了，只剩下过去分词的 left。 那我们看到这样的分词结构，当然让句子更精简。那我们提到进食障碍，它可能影响你的生命，下面就提到了某一些的症状，包括了 heart failure， 也就是心脏衰竭，还有肾脏受损等等。那我们看要怎么样做呢？他说到 the sooner these disorders are diagnosed， 这个后面又接The more likely it will be blah blah blah。 这个句构里面前面有一个比较级，后面有一个比较级。我们知道 the 加比较级对照另外一半的 the 加比较级，就表示越怎么样就越怎么样。所以呢，越早被诊断出来，这样就越有可能患者会康复。好，我们再看下面这段。那我们怎么知道他们有这样的问题呢？这边提到进食障碍其实并没有单一的常见的症状，不过倒是有一些 red flags。 red flags 这个字面上是红旗，当然就表示是一个警告牌子，警告的标志，也就是这有一些警讯你是可以注意到的。那我们就来看看有哪些征兆。以下提到第一点，他说 aside from， 注意到这个片语吗？ aside from 就是 in addition to， 但是 aside from 是比较中性的，它有时候接的呢倒不见得是包括在内的，有时候是像 except， 所以 aside from 注意到，当然以这个前后文来看，这里相当于 in addition to， 不过要留意它不见得是 in addition to， 有时候等于 except。 那这边除了也就是说这个症状的话，像常常谈节食啦，谈体重的话题，那但除此之外有一个症状就是他们会体重有剧烈的波动，我们谈 fluctuations， 这个就代表上下的波动，然后谈数字谈股票都可能用到这个字，这边是指体重方面。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
All right, everybody, let's continue talking about some of those red flags. If you have a friend or something that you suspect might be suffering from an eating disorder, you might go looking for some red flags, okay? One of them would be they're constantly talking about dieting and losing weight, and they also may experience dramatic fluctuations in their weight. They're heavy one day and thin the next. Now, they likely engage in unusual food rituals, like cutting food into tiny pieces, pushing food around a plate, eating very slowly or very quickly, or hiding food. Most people eat food kind of the same way. There's nothing unusual about the way we eat. But some people might seem kind of unusual when they eat. They may have these kinds of rituals, which in this particular case just means a certain way of doing something that might appear unusual, okay? These food rituals and some of these examples would be, hey, they keep cutting their food into tiny pieces. Most people, when they eat steak, they cut off a piece that's, what, roughly by 1 inch in size. Maybe they're cutting their steak into pieces that are 1 centimeter square, and they're doing the whole steak like that, and they're taking forever to do that. They're cutting their food into tiny pieces, or they might be pushing the food around a plate, or they may be taking forever to finish their meal or something like that. They may eat very slowly, and they may chew their food longer than usual, or they may chew it quickly, or they simply may hide their food. They may simply remove a piece of gongbao jiding from the plate and hide it under the table, or maybe feed it to the dog who's down there. I remember I used to do that when I was a kid, of course, when I didn't want to eat stuff. Of course, we'd just take food down and feed it to Fred under the table there. But that wasn't a sign of an eating disorder. It's because I just didn't like the food Mom had cooked.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah. I have a little nephew that is so skinny, but he only eats just several things. The foods that he'll eat are very limited. So he does some of the hiding because I've opened up drawers in the kitchen and there will be some food in there sometimes. And I know it's Spencer. So you got to watch out for that. I wanted to mention food ritual. You could also say a routine, something, a pattern, something that they do that kind of stands out to you. The only people I see cutting their food into tiny pieces are either parents that do it for their small kids or maybe older people. They don't want to choke on food.
Right.
So if you're looking at someone who's, you know, in their 30s, 40s, 20s doing this, it's a little weird. Or they might be hiding food, like Tom said. People with eating disorders often feel overwhelmed. They just have too much stress on them. There are too many feelings coming at them all at the same time. They're overwhelmed. Or they might feel out of control around food. These people who are binge eaters probably feel that way. I mean, they probably want to eat in private because they're embarrassed about the way that they eat or how much they eat. I had a friend that was quite heavy, and she would eat late at night away from people so that she could just eat in peace, because overweight people are often targets of people saying, oh, do you really need that extra cookie? Which doesn't help, guys, just by the way. Now, due to the complex nature, how complicated these eating disorders are, prevention is better than cure. It's best never to even get the eating disorder. So parents have to be on the lookout for
this, I think, with their kids. Try to prevent something. If you prevent something, you're keeping something from happening, right? So prevention is the noun form of the verb to prevent. So the action of stopping something from happening. Preventing something is better than having to cure it after someone gets this eating disorder.
Yep, we often say this, prevention is better than cure. Make sure you wash your hands all the time, et cetera, et cetera. That's a way of preventing diseases from happening. And adopting healthy attitudes about body image and eating is a good place to start, okay? So yes, have some healthy attitudes about body image. Skinny isn't always the best. Having a little extra meat on your body is actually good for you. Maybe look at some old Renaissance paintings where the models were actually quite overweight. They actually liked that back then.
Mm-hmm.
It was good to be overweight then. It meant you were healthy. It meant you had a lot of money and you could afford that food.
Right.
It was a sign of prestige to be overweight, at least back then. It's certainly not nowadays. You got to be really skinny now. But in any case here, yes, you can have some healthy attitudes about food. And eating is a good place to start. And instead of restricting certain foods, eat a variety of foods and exercise for fitness. In other words, don't exercise to lose weight. Exercise just to be healthy. And I would concur with that. I've been exercising for many years. And I can say now that I think exercise has zero effect on weight loss. In fact, it might actually help you gain weight if you get really hungry after you exercise. You might actually end up eating high-carb foods, and you'll actually defeat the purpose.
Don't do it.
Right. So, but you still should exercise for the sake of fitness and for not losing weight. And think about what you can eat and don't worry so much about what you can't eat. What's so great about chocolate cake or cookies? Hey, celery, that is tasty. It's crunchy. Carrots, they're crunchy and tasty as well. You can have as much celery as your heart desires.
So if you restrict something, you keep yourself from having too much of it, right? So you're going to restrict your calories, restrict food. Your parents sometimes will restrict you from hanging out with your friends if you're not getting all your homework done. So you put a limit on something, keep it under control. If you restrict something, don't let the media distort your ideas about beauty. Nowadays, I think the media is aware of how the images of beauty are affecting especially young teenage girls. So they're trying harder to talk about this issue and make sure people know that not everybody looks like that. A lot of the models in these magazines have been photoshopped. They're not perfect, and which is kind of nice to know. If someone distorts something, they give you a misleading impression. They change something or they're giving you a false impression of something that's not really true. So they're distorting your ideas about beauty. I know there's a country maybe a year ago that banned models from being too skinny. The runway models are the ones who are really thin. But, you know, there are certain industries where you have to be thin, and the entertainment industry and modeling industry are two industries you don't want to go into if you don't want to be too thin. Those guys have to be pretty skinny. So be careful. What's more, it says we shouldn't be body shaming. Body shaming, this is a very popular phrase these days. If you body shame someone, it means when they post on Instagram or Facebook and they look a little fat maybe, or maybe their stomach's sticking out because they just ate, you make really mean comments online and social media and say, oh, wow, she looks like she's gained 5 kilograms. Don't do that. That's body shaming. Don't do it to yourself and don't do it to others.
Indeed, don't body shame yourself. And of course, as I've said before, lots of people like to point out that you've gained weight. But to be fair, a lot of times people point out the fact that you've lost weight. But in any case here, don't shame yourself and others. What's more, in addition, learn effective coping strategies to deal with negative emotions. So sometimes, of course, you can't stop these comments. People are going to say stuff no matter what. So you need to cope with these things. You need to deal with these things. Have some coping strategies. And these are some plans or ideas that you might have that you've made ahead of time. Yeah, what if somebody points out the fact that I've gained 10 10 pounds. Okay, what happens then? What should I say? Have some responses ready or have yourself mentally prepared for that so that you can deal with those negative emotions. What you're going to, of course, have, you're going to feel guilty if somebody notices that you've gained weight. It's inevitable. It's natural that you would feel that way, but you need to have these strategies or ideas about how you're going to handle this situation.
Yeah, a strategy is a plan of action, what you're going to do. Educating yourself about eating disorders and recognizing the fact that could put you or a loved one at risk, those red flags, remember, are the most important steps toward prevention. You need to know as much as you can about these things so that you're aware of the flags or the symptoms that you might be seeing around you. And if you do see them, make sure you get some help for a friend or family member. Right now, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher one more time.
那我们继续来看，如果有这种所谓的厌食症也好，暴食症也好，狂食症也好，他们有什么样的征兆？提到了除了会常谈体重的话题之外，谈到他们体重有剧烈的波动之外，接下来他还提到你会发现他们吃东西啊会有一些比较特别的习惯。下面举了几个例子，那除了这种特殊习惯之外，另外有一点是他们因为常常在食物面前感到不知所措、失控，所以也会避免在公众场合里面进食。这边除了这些症状之外，接下来这一段就要提到该怎么办呢？如果有这种 eating disorders， 他的建议就是 prevention is better than cure。这一句是一个常见的谚语，我们知道它的字面解释就是预防胜于治疗。怎么个预防？给了两种不同的建议，两个层次，两个方向上的建议。第一个方向上，他就说到 adopting healthy attitudes about body image。 我们知道 adopt 这个动词是采纳、采用，所以他说你要采取健康的态度，对于你的 body image， 也就是身体的形象也好，还有对于你吃这方面都应该有健康的态度，这是一个很好的着手点。在这方面来说，当然下面又有一些 supporting details， 他告诉你比如说啦，你要吃多样的食物啦，还有你就是不要让媒体去扭曲你对于审美的观点，然后呢还要 stop body shaming。 我们知道 body shaming 其实就讲的是你对自己的身体的形象呢好像常常感到羞愧，不管是对自己对别人感到身体的羞愧，这样子的行为是不对的。那这方面提到了这个层次之外，另外一个层次呢，他用 what's more 来连接。 what's more 另外一方面还有很重要的就是你要学怎么样处理你的负面情绪，怎么样来学习有效的应对策略。应对策略 coping strategies， 这边当然还是有一些细节告诉你，对于自己知道有进食障碍，那你要了解它，甚至于呢认识说如果你有亲人有这样子的问题的话，那应该怎么做？好，我们今天的讲解就到这边结束，我们下次见。
That is it for today, everybody. Thank you for listening to our program, and hopefully, we've informed you about eating disorders. They are real, and hopefully, you won't be so cruel to people who are suffering from these problems, and you won't be cruel to yourself if you are suffering from these problems, and do seek professional help. From all of us here at English Digest, my name is Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.